Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast with me, Caroline Foran. I'm the author of Owning It, The Confidence Kit, and Naked is my latest book. For this episode, I'm so excited to say that I am joined by Millie McIntosh. I've been a fan of Millie's for quite a long time, especially since becoming a parent. I just love how candid she is, how much she shares on social. That's really authentic. She has always been very open in her posts about her experience of anxiety. And in this episode, we talk through her whole anxiety story. So how it began, how it manifested, what it felt like for her, how she dealt with this, what she does on a day-to-day basis to keep herself feeling okay, how becoming a parent influenced her anxiety, pregnancy anxiety, postpartum anxiety, and now that she has baby number two on the way, we talk about that as well. I'm so grateful to Millie for giving me the time. Anyone else will know her from her Instagram and from different things like Made in Chelsea, which is where she got her start, I suppose. And she's had all the different fashion lines. She's a fashion influencer, beauty, everything. She does everything, and she's brilliant. So I really hope you enjoy this episode, and I hope that you get as much from it as I did. Millie, thank you so much for joining me on Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast. As I said, I've always been a huge fan of yours and for all that you share. And I've always just loved how candid you are and how willing you are just to let yourself be vulnerable. And I think it's just so important in social media to have people like that who just, you know, take the veil down and show a bit of reality.
Thank you.
Obviously, the theme of the podcast is anxiety, so we're going to get right into that. But social media can be such a source of anxiety for people, you know, certainly for me, like trying to live up to certain expectations of what others put out there or what you should put out there. So I'm wondering, did you make a conscious decision at some point just not to only show the best bits and to, you know, share the vulnerable parts as well?
Yes, totally. So I think for me, it really started kind of in my first pregnancy. So when I was pregnant with Sienna, which was like 2 years ago, I literally found out almost to the day that I was pregnant with her. And to be honest, my first reaction when I got pregnant with Sienna was to really withdraw from social media. I don't know about you, but being a first time mom, and I found the first couple of months like quite anxiety inducing generally. And it's really hard, but if you're used to sharing things on social media and suddenly you're hiding like the biggest thing that's ever happened to you from people, you don't want anyone to know before 12 weeks. I felt really ill and I couldn't share any of it. And my reaction was just really to like, I felt like I wanted to just be offline. Like I didn't want to share anything. I was convinced people would be able to tell I was pregnant even when I like wasn't showing.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just like written on my face, and I kind of felt myself like withdrawing a bit. And then I think once I had got past 12 weeks and announced the news, I slowly started to find like my feet with it a bit and found my confidence and started, I was nervous to do it, but I started sharing more about like my symptoms and how I was feeling, the ups and downs, not just feeling happy, but, you know, I shared about feeling anxious and various symptoms, that how they were awful they were making me feel. And I was so overwhelmed with the like great response I was getting from my followers for being more open and candid. And also just like the kind of the comfort I could take from hearing a lot of other people who'd been through the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people were giving me advice, things that helped them feel better in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just made me realize that there's this whole community out there. And when you use social media in a more open and honest and real way, you can really have these connections with people.
Yeah, I found the same. I feel like, you know, I've always been open about my anxieties long before I had Kaylin, because for me, it was like, I either had a choice to only put out the best bits and like have this pressure to live up to what I was putting out there,
yeah,
or just be myself. And not only did it benefit, you know, people who are following me or following you to say, oh my God, Millie's like a human being. She, you know, she has all the same symptoms I'm feeling. She's feeling overwhelmed. She's feeling anxious. You know, not every day is perfect. It also takes the pressure off you, I'm wondering, because it did for me, that you're kind of closing the gap between what you put out there and how you are privately. And that's like where imposter syndrome can come up. So when you're, yeah, you know, if you're putting out one completely different scenario to what is your real life, the pressure to live up to that, to fulfill that, is, I think, quite a source of anxiety.
It feeds into the anxiety for sure. You're like creating this impossible thing to keep up. And I had definitely felt the I feel like social media has changed a lot in the last year, but there was definitely one point with social media, particularly obviously with Instagram, where people are showing images of, you know, their perfect, everything looking perfect all the time and the best moments. And it's hard. It is really hard to keep that up. And then, you know, when you're having days when you're feeling like shit, you haven't got makeup on, maybe you're having, you know, a bad day with your mental health, whatever you've got going on, and you're like, how am I meant to share anything about this? Because it doesn't look good. You know, I can't edit it. I can't put a filter on it and like make it look glamorous or like, you know, and I think I definitely felt that in lockdown as well. It was like, what am I going to share again today? Like another picture of me like sitting in my house. And we've had to get really like creative and I guess just kind of really adapt. For me, I've really had to adapt the kind of content that I do share. And it's not just pictures from events and holidays and, you know, different outfits in lovely locations. And it has definitely got a lot more real and unedited. And I think it took a bit of time for me to kind of feel comfortable with that.
And do you think like for anxiety that you experience in general, has getting to this more authentic place with your social media and what you put out there, do you think that's helped positively overall, like your anxiety levels?
Definitely. I think just knowing that I am being more honest and that when I open up and share, when I'm having a bad day, I know that actually also like helps other people who are also feeling the same as me, and like instantly getting those messages back from people saying, oh, thank you so much for being honest today. Like I really needed to hear that. I feel the same too. Like it does make you feel less alone.
Absolutely. There is a tendency though, I find as well, like maybe it's more of an Irish thing, but people respond so much to negativity. Like it's kind of like a misery porn thing that then there's an anxiety around sharing when things are going really well or when you're having a really good day, in case people are like, well, it's so unrelatable, you know? So you can't really win, can you?
You can't really win. Sometimes I think I don't want it to sound like I'm moaning, because I'm so grateful to have had a baby and to be going through pregnancy again. And I know so many people suffer with trying to get pregnant, you know, and at times I have thought maybe I shouldn't complain about these symptoms because I don't want to seem ungrateful, and I am incredibly grateful. But then at the same time, I want to be honest about it. I don't love being pregnant all the time. It's really hard. I'm currently like, literally, you can't even see, but I wanted to actually look nice for our Zoom, my hair is like past the help of dry shampoo. I've got like two big spots, like spot cream on. I'm going to an event later, so I'm getting my glam later. So you've literally got
nice. I've got the real you.
You've got me. I'm wearing like a unitard, like a onesie, and I've got like a support band on because my pelvic pain is so bad. And I'm literally like limping around the house. And this is the reality of like my third trimester right now. Like it's not a glowing, radiant, like smiling pregnant woman.
Both things can coexist. And I mean, I definitely want to get into talking about anxiety experience when you do become a parent and when the baby's already there. But I think people, women in particular, obviously feel the need to like caveat when they say, look, I'm going to share that it's difficult sometimes, but I also want you to know that I love my baby or that I'm so grateful. Like it goes without saying, and both feelings can coexist, you know, like even someone who goes through an incredibly tough time with fertility can still come out the other side and have a really shit day with their baby and think, I've no right to say this because I'm so grateful. You do have a right to say it, and it's normalizing, yeah. normalizing how, you know, the ups and downs of it. And that just takes everyone's anxiety down a level or notch, I think, I really believe. So I think it's important to just, it's not about sharing the good bits or the bad bits or like going in one direction, just sharing what's real, you know. And like, if you're having a great day, having a beautiful holiday, that's what people want to see as well, you know. They're there for all of
it. Completely. It's like not having the guilt about it and just being like, cool, this is just my reality right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And just, like you said, like just being honest.
You've always been really forthcoming. Before Sienna, I've definitely heard you speak about anxiety being an issue for you. Have you always struggled with it? Was there a particular time in your life that it came about for you?
Yes, looking back, I would say I am a naturally anxious person, in that I have like an anxious disposition. I'm a bit of a warrior. I'm a planner. I like to be in control. And I would say, looking back, I first really started feeling anxious and having panic attacks when I was probably around 18, but I didn't understand that it was anxiety then. So I would think I had a really bad stomach ache. I would get a lot of stomach pains, a lot of IBS symptoms. And I would just feel like, if this feeling struck, I would just be like, I would just relate it to like, I'll be like, oh, I've got the stomach ache again, I've got to go home. But like, understanding more about it now, I know that that's how the anxiety was showing up, and it was giving me like the physical symptoms. I didn't understand my mental health at that point in any way, shape or form. So I couldn't understand like what the feelings were. I often just felt like I had to get out of wherever I was and just like leave.
Yeah.
And I was bullied bullied at different schools. I had different situations, but I'd say a lot of the anxiety probably did stem from that, and that was probably through my teenage years. And then I would struggle with panic attacks kind of randomly from kind of the age 18 onwards, not all the time. So, you know, they would just like come out of the blue, and I didn't probably start to understand and like realize that I had anxiety and start putting a label on it probably till I was more in my like early 20s.
Because there was no awareness of, you know, there was no label to put on it, you know.
No.
And also like the last thing you want to do at the age of 18 is put up your hand and say like, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I don't want to be at this party, I need to go home.
Exactly, because and I do remember like friends being like, well, what's wrong with you? Like, well, I'd be like at a party. So I was like a few times when I was traveling, I took like some time out on my gap year, and I would have these like anxious feelings and just have to like leave where we were. And remember, it even happened at like the full moon party in Thailand, and it was just, you know, looking back, like, it was, of course it was an overwhelming experience. It's like all these people, like everyone's like being really crazy, and I was really overwhelmed. And I remember just going back and sitting in our like little hut, and I could hear all the noise, and I was like, this is horrible. But I just like couldn't handle it.
I know.
And I remember my friends being like, what's wrong with you? This is so fun. Like just get it together. Like, have another drink, you'll be fine. And I was like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, I can't even drink.
So then, like, for you, what started as maybe anxiety rooted in the bullying becomes anxiety about the physical symptoms of IBS, because they alone are enough to give you anxiety, because you're like, well, I need to be at home. Then the anxiety about not understanding why you're feeling like this, and, you know, why is this happening to me? And then the anxiety of what are people thinking about me? And it just grows arms and legs, and then it becomes something that's really impeding your life. And almost word for word what you've described, like being 18, all the IBS symptoms, friends being like, what's wrong with you? Like, just have a good time. Word for word, my experience.
Oh, yeah, which is like the worst thing someone can say to you. But like, if you know, you start explaining to someone, I like, I feel anxious, and they're like, but nothing's wrong. Like, what's wrong?
Has anyone ever said to you, what have you got to be anxious about? Or sure, look at you've no reason to be stressed out.
Yeah. I remember when I was filming Made in Chelsea, the anxiety was coming up a bit more, I think. Like, see, then I went from being like an unknown person to being in the public eye and being part of this new experience, which again was fun, but it was all unknown and quite overwhelming, and there was quite a lot of travel and stuff like that involved. And I remember being abroad in Morocco, and I started having a panic attack on set, and one of the producers like sat me down and she was like, where are your feet right now? And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, look at your feet and tell me, like, where are your feet right now? And I said, well, they're on the ground, they're in the sand. And she was like, and where are you? And I was like, we're at Nikki Beach. I just remember this moment really clearly, and she was like, are you safe right now? Like, look around you, are you safe? And I was like, I looked around, and I suddenly was like, yeah. And I just suddenly felt so much better. And it was like one of the first times that someone like talked me out of it and understood. And actually I was like, oh, okay. Like other people get that I feel like this, and like, it's okay to feel like this. And there are ways to like talk yourself out of it.
And what do you think in those kind of moments was triggering you like to have a panic attack in that moment? Is it being away from home, being swept up in this juggernaut of a show that became so successful?
It's so, I find it so hard to know like where it, or sometimes where it comes from, because one of the most confusing things I find with anxiety is often there doesn't seem to be any like any reason why you're feeling it at that particular time. That it's easier to understand it. Say like you said this morning, I know you said, didn't say you were anxious, you felt nervous, but if like, if I have a job coming up that maybe something like public speaking, I find really anxiety inducing, it's like my actual worst thing to do. I can understand why I'm feeling anxious before. So it's easier to be like, okay, I can understand these feelings because it's because of this, and I'll get through it. And that's why I feel anxious and nervous. But if you're doing something that you've, you know, is completely normal for you, or not something that should cause you any stress or any problems, or and it, you're not to your knowledge like worried about it at all, but you're there doing it or about to do it, and bam, the feelings are just coming up. I find that really confusing.
And then people get extra freaked out by that, because it's like, I'm sitting on some of the worst panic attacks I've had have been sitting on my sofa. And I think for me, a big learning was realizing how stress can just be simmering away under the surface, and it can build and build, and then it doesn't take very much at all. Like maybe it was just a slightly high pressure environment was like the one straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, so I think that's something I've definitely noticed as well. I'd say I'm a very sensitive person, and I'm definitely sensitive to my environment. So I don't like big crowds. That makes me quite anxious, because I have kind of claustrophobia as well. Like I don't like confined spaces. I get anxious when I fly. I hate the tube. Being underground is like my worst nightmare. It's like that feeling of like being trapped. I think it's like the loss of control. I remember as a child, I was like terrified of going in lifts and stuff. I'm fine with that now. But I think, yeah, I'm definitely quite sensitive to my environment. And if something feels like too hectic and stuff, like it can bring on those anxious feelings. But since lockdown, I've found going back out into like busy restaurants and busy public situations has been bringing on a bit of anxiety as well, which really sucks, because I was so excited to like get back out and socialize again and do things. But being pregnant, it's like I'm also hyper aware to like my surroundings, and I feel like I assess everything and everyone around me for like, you know, danger and risk.
But if you think about it, like, I mean, the anxiety you feel going back out into the world makes so much sense, because like over the last 18 months and being pregnant and having a little baby, our minds and bodies have been primed to be on high alert for a threat. Like you quite literally are facing a legitimate threat to your survival when you step outside your door. And we've finally kind of gotten that message. And now to be told, oh, it's okay, you can go back and be in a busy restaurant. The part of your brain that senses threat is like, hold on a minute, firing off. And it's giving you the signal to get out of there. So it's going to take a while to get back into that as well. Like it's an extra added layer being pregnant and like just becoming so, I remember one of the last panic attacks I had was when I was pregnant and I was at a gig and I wasn't that far along, but I'm not great in crowds, but I was so much more aware of the crowd, because I was like, I need to protect this other thing here as well.
Completely.
And so that's a lot. So was there a point where obviously there's tangible anxieties, like, you know, fear of small spaces or fear of big crowds, things that you can say like, I know that I can work through that or I can avoid that. But with the more general anxiety, like just feeling overwhelmed with the panic attacks, did you reach a point where you said like, I need to do something about this, or I need to understand this better?
Yes. So I would say when I was kind of in my early 20s, when I first started to think, okay, I want to get a bit of help for this, and realizing that, you know, with treatment, it was something that I could work on and manage, but that also if I just ignored it, it wasn't going to go away. You know, it was something I was going to have, it was part of me, and I was going to have to like work on it. So I started to have a bit more awareness of my mental health, I'd say in my early 20s. I've done various types of therapy, from NLP to cognitive therapy to just talking therapy. I started to also realize that it was really a lifestyle change that I was going to need to make, and starting to look after myself more, like exercising. I didn't have an exercise routine, a really good one, probably till I was about 23, 24. And that massively helped. That was one of the biggest things for me, getting into exercise, not just for my body, but like, you know, to help me be mentally strong as well.
I definitely want to ask you about the various things that you do to keep yourself feeling well on a day-to-day basis. But just to go back to, I suppose, when Made in Chelsea came along, suddenly almost overnight, I guess, from when the show comes out, you know, an element of anxiety would, I'm sure, come from suddenly your marriage, your family, there's so much public interest in your life. How did you respond to that? And like, I assume that you would have to set up quite healthy boundaries to protect yourself from the opinions of the world.
It didn't feel like it happened overnight in terms of like the show was out, and then it took a bit of time to build and to get the momentum. And it wasn't like people were coming up to me on the street the first week it came out. So that happened. I would say that did happen more gradually, and it's still weird, but you weirdly get used to that. And on the whole, I find like I feel quite lucky that people are normally quite nice when they want to say hi, and I normally like love having a chat with them as long as they don't say anything super weird.
Yeah.
We didn't have, it was quite different then because there wasn't Instagram. Like, Instagram was just starting, and I used to use it to do kind of what I'm wearing today type posts. And it was way more unedited back then. You know, we didn't have all these like apps and filters and reels. It was just, you know, quite straight up, not particularly glossy like images. So it was quite real in a way that people would just post pictures of like anything and everything, and it wasn't always, you know, your grid didn't look like perfect.
It was no consistency.
So Twitter was big, so you would get people's opinions on Twitter.
I find Twitter such a toxic place.
The thing with Twitter is like you said, people would be, because they almost felt like quite protected behind their profile, and
it's often anonymous
exactly, and lots of like kind of troll accounts. And people would just say literally what they think of you, and you're putting yourself on this you're out there on this platform and on a reality show, like almost like, I guess people feel like you're asking for it, like you're asking to be criticized, and you are, you know, I was a 21 year old girl, and the show was, you know, such an amazing opportunity. I'm so glad I did it, but definitely looking back now, I can understand why I was getting these feelings of anxiety. And I think some of the really mean things people would say back on Twitter, they really stick with me. I can remember them now. And you often do remember. It's human nature, right? You do remember that one mean comment out of 100 nice ones.
Yeah, because it's a threat.
So the show would be on a Monday evening, I think it's on like 9 p.m. And so that whenever it was like on a Monday, the tweets would like pour in. There'd be like so many, you couldn't read them all. And also it was, you know, it was kind of a thrill because you'd see like your followers going up, but then at the same time you'd have like a lot of comments. And you know, when people were like attacking your character, or to be honest, the most hurtful thing I often found was just like attacking how I looked and saying really mean things. I've definitely got thicker skinned over the years, but that is, you know, that was something that was really hurtful, and it did affect my confidence definitely, and it made me conscious of like certain things. So like people would always say, oh, you have like really thin lips, or you have like a double chin, or you've got like no expression, or you know, you, whatever it was, you look like this, you're flat-chested, you look like a boy, like whatever comment it was, you know, like that would really like stick in my head. It was challenging, but then I would try and take from it like the positive, and the, because I would also get a lot of nice comments about what I was wearing, or,
yeah,
you know, there was lots of fans as well.
But you find Instagram generally a more supportive place for the most part?
I do find Instagram a more supportive place. So I guess Instagram for me kind of started from me doing the show and getting these followers on Twitter. And then slowly over time, didn't plan for it. You know, I didn't know I would become an influencer. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But it just naturally built. And I started using Instagram more and more, and Twitter less and less. And now, you know, that's kind of become my like main job, really.
I find with social media and like self-care, there tends to be, I'm noticing like, you know, the wellness industry kind of blew up and everyone was like, oh, we need to like be well. We need to, like, I was voraciously hoovering up all these articles from different websites about all the different greens and plants and seeds and things to do and all the different ways of thinking. And it was like the wellness, which was meant as to like combat the stress and anxiety, like just became another element of stress and anxiety, became part of the problem. And I find with self-care, a lot of people, you can kind of burn out in self-care as well, where you're trying to subscribe to what other people's ideas of self-care
yeah.
or self-care that looks good on social media. And, you know, for me, sometimes self-care is just like getting into my thickest, coziest pajamas under my duvet, and it doesn't look great, but that's, you know, it's just switching off. What's your relationship with self-care, and you know, how do you keep it, make sure that it's dialed into what really you need right now and what not what sounds good or looks good?
So my relationship with self-care has kind of grown over the years, and it's definitely been part of my journey into, you know, I wouldn't say, well, I'd say in managing my anxiety for sure, you know, wellness and self-care and the whole package. I've realized you've got to look after, you know, your mind and body in order to truly like feel well. And I've definitely had my ups and downs over the years. And now I would say it's definitely changed since becoming a mum, because, you know, looking back, like it's, you just have so much more time for yourself and to put just yourself and your needs first before you have children. So I got really into meditation in my 20s, the one I went through some like difficult times. And that I did a course in transcendental meditation, or TM as lots of people call it, which is like a mantra based meditation. And that massively helped me. This is at a time when I was having like daily panic attacks, and that was amazing for me. And it involved, is not a practice I make time for often now, I have to admit, and I do sometimes have guilt about that, but I do it in different ways. But at that time, it was what I really needed. And I did 2 20-minute meditations a day, like one when I woke up and then one in the afternoon.
Imagine having 40 minutes to yourself every day now.
I know. So that was, that at that time definitely really helped me. And then when I was pregnant with Sienna, I would meditate every day, or okay, not every day, most days. And I had a good practice with that. And that definitely really helped with the kind of anxiety I felt in that pregnancy for like various reasons. And now, so since having a baby, that, you know, waking up first thing and doing a meditation has just completely gone out the window, and happened probably about 3 times in the year and a half.
And then what you don't want to happen is to beat yourself up about the fact that you're not able to do it. And then that creates more anxiety because it's just not realistic.
What I've actually got really into is using the Calm app. And this is not, I'm not working with them or anything. This is, I just genuinely, I've used Headspace, use Calm. Like I use a different app with the meditation timer. It just depends like kind of what I feel like I need. But for me, mindfulness has definitely been really part of my self-care. And I do a like 15-minute pre-sleep meditation called like deep sleep. I think it's called like deep sleep relax. And it's like a body scan, and it talks you through like kind of breathing, you know, visualizing the different parts of your body relaxing, which is like a, you know, ancient technique. And it does really help me to like fall into a deep sleep, stop overthinking all the bits of my day. And then fall. And actually my husband really loves it as well. He's like, can you put on deep? I think it's called like deep peace or deep. He's like, put on deep peace. So we like, we get into bed, like lie there and listen to it. It's quite sweet.
Oh, it's so much better than just sitting there scrolling your phone, which I mean, I'm guilty of doing all the time.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You mentioned there in your mid-20s, like getting to the point of having, you know, panic attacks every day, maybe sometimes several in a day. Apart from the things that you can do, like transcendental meditation or mindfulness, what do you think, in terms of how you think about anxiety, in terms of your perception of your anxiety, what was the changing point that got you from it being so frequent to it being something that you can manage? Like, was there a change in the way you approach anxiety?
I think different things. I think when my anxiety was that bad, to be honest, it was really circumstantial because I was going through a difficult time personally. And so it was really related to that. And as that got less painful, like the anxiety did get easier to manage. But I think it definitely is also about being more open to it, weirdly, rather than being like, oh no, I feel a bit anxious today. You're like, oh, hi, anxiety, my old friend. Okay, hey, you want to hang out today? Cool, like you're here, like okay, a bit busy, but I'll make time for you, like you can just hang out over there, like, and you're just like, they're in the room, you've seen them, you're like, hi, like cool, like check in with you later. And then often, like, that would, even just by doing that rather than fighting it, a couple of hours would go by and you'd like, it's gone.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, that for me, like, nail on the head is the biggest thing, of like trying so hard to run away from it and not feel it, and just creating more tension, feeling it more,
and then feeling like anxious that you feel anxious. Like, my anxiety would like have anxiety. I'd have anxiety about having anxiety. It's such a horrid cycle to be caught in. And I do still find myself sometimes now worrying about having anxiety. And I have to try and stop myself from doing that. Like tonight, I'm actually going to my first work event in literally nearly, it's, you know, it's definitely in like 18 months, maybe more, probably, like, I think it's like the first time in about 20 months that I'll have gone to an event, like a work event. And I've been worrying, like, am I going to feel anxious when I'm there?
And that's a really common anxiety. And people ask me all the time, like, oh, I'm getting married, and like, I definitely can't afford to feel anxious on my wedding day. And
yeah,
like, I figured when I got married that there's a very high chance that I'll feel anxious on my wedding day. So what if you do? Like, so for you going to this event later on,
yeah,
you know, it's likely that you will feel overwhelmed, and that's okay. And if you can, instead of saying, oh God, yeah, I can't feel that way, which then make it worse, if you can say, look, I'm going to bring my anxiety along with me later. It's there in my handbag if it wants to pop out. But like, if you can like allow yourself confront the possibility of anxiety popping up, then it takes the fear out of it, or it takes the sting out of it, and it kind of dissolves it a bit. And it's like, okay, well, if I'm not going to have that much effect on you anyway, I'm not going to bother, you know?
Yeah, it's how changing how you think about it.
Perception of anxiety is, I think, so much more important. It's like the cornerstone to start with before you can benefit from things like yoga or meditation or going for a walk. It's like how you think about anxiety. Like, I feel like if, you know, a lot of people just go through life on a permanent level of stress and anxiety, and they slap a yoga class on the end of the day hoping it will just make it all okay. But if you don't understand the anxiety in the first place, and you don't unpack it, and you don't allow for it, and like, you're not kind to yourself because you feel it, then you're just adding more fuel to the fire, you know? So like, I'm so glad that you said that turning point for you was such a game changer, because that's, I suppose, the main message I'm always trying to get across to people, is if you can accept that it's going to pop up from time to time because you're a human being, then it makes it so much easier to handle.
Completely. I would say that in this pregnancy, I've been much less anxious. I think just it being the second time, combination of it's familiar, it's not now new and so scary. I'm so busy with Sienna that, you know, it's having like less time, maybe alone with my thoughts, to think about it. And in saying that, you know, I have had like a couple of anxious moments, but I actually had one of those kind of more confusing ones, like I mentioned before, when you're like, hang on, why am I anxious? I do this all the time. I was on a shoot the other day, but it was, to be fair, the first time in probably 18 months that I'd, maybe even longer, that I'd done a shoot on a location with a lot of people that I don't know. because a lot of the work that I do, I create the content myself. So I do it at home, especially like since lockdown and becoming a mum. I work with a videographer and photographer who's also like become a good friend, who I see regularly. It's a kind of, it's like a very much a controlled environment that I'm really used to. So nothing like, it's not like it doesn't make me nervous. That's what I'm used to doing every week. And I was going into working with a team I didn't know, at a location, and there's lots of people there, and I was doing stuff. I had to talk to camera, I had to do pictures, I had to like meet lots of people I didn't know. And when I, back in the day before COVID and pre-baby, when I was doing this kind of stuff all the time, wouldn't faze me at all. But I showed up at the house and I was just about to get out of my out of the car and could just feel this this anxiety brewing. I was like, oh, for God's sake, not today. I was like, no. And I started to really stress out that it was there, doing the opposite of what we just talked about. And I was like kind of fighting it, like in the back of my head, like, no, not today. It can't happen now. And oh God, what if I have to go and lock myself in the bathroom? Or there was like, it was a location house and there was like a big garden. I was like, maybe I'll just have to go and hide at the bottom of the garden. Or my instant reaction is like run and hide. And then I'm also struggling with like pregnancy symptoms, like heartburn and like all these, but I was starting to get this kind of like stomach pain, you know, like typical like IBS symptoms creeping in, like a bit nauseous. Which also when you're pregnant, like you might feel anyway, but I was just like, no, I really don't want this to happen. And luckily I managed to somehow override it. I think once I actually got in there and the day started and I just kind of forgot about feeling anxious.
Yeah.
But that first kind of half an hour, I was really in my head. And
would you feel in that scenario, like would you be able to go into that room full of people and like, say the person doing your makeup just say, oh God, like I'm feeling really anxious today?
Yeah, I did actually say it. I did say it, and I realized a few years ago that saying it really helps, and that if a couple of people that you trust on the day, I luckily did know my hair and makeup and manage people and my manager were there. And I did mention it to them, and I felt better knowing that I'd said it out loud.
Yeah, just labeling it and putting it out there. It's like, yeah. I used to say, look, oh, how was your day? Oh, I had a sandwich. Oh, I had a panic attack. And then it's not like, oh my God, you had a panic attack. It's like, yeah, it's okay. So pregnancy and becoming a parent, I guess I figured that I had so much awareness of anxiety that like it wouldn't hit me. And when my baby came along, I was floored by anxiety. It really like knocked me sideways. I did not expect to feel as overwhelmed and emotional.
Did you feel that, I'm interested to know, did you feel that from the moment when you found out you were pregnant, did it affect you in your pregnancy, or was it more once your baby arrived?
I was actually really calm in pregnancy, and obviously I had a lot of morning sickness stuff. I'm terrified of getting sick, so that was not fun. But I guess I thought that having the baby and going through labor was the finish line, and the rest would just come so naturally, because all of what we consume about motherhood is like, you know, you'll know what to do and it's just pure bliss, and you'd be out for brunch on day two with the baby. And I was like pumping sweat from the epidural, I can only assume. I didn't know what to do. I was really struggling with trying to feed. And I guess your hormones fall off a cliff. The gap between what I thought it would be and what I felt in those first few weeks frightened me so much. My anxiety went through the fucking roof. So I'm really curious about, you know, I'm really passionate since I had him about normalizing that for people, because not everyone loves and adores the first few weeks of a baby. It's really, really hard. And you're trying to get yourself back on an even keel. You're not sleeping. So how did you find your first few weeks with Sienna anxiety wise?
Definitely such a great topic to talk about as well. So I'd had a bit of anxiety during my pregnancy, but I was glad that I felt actually quite calm at the end. And I had a planned C-section, which for me worked really well, because I knew when it was. I did my hypnobirthing. I'd been listening to a track like every night to prepare myself for how I was going to feel in the theater. And I went, walked in, felt calm, and okay, I was a bit nervous, but I wasn't anxious. I was just excited to meet her. And like that part of it was amazing. But yes, afterwards, it was tough. Those first 6 weeks for me were really hard. And I definitely struggled with what people call the baby blues. And at times I was really concerned, you know, is this spiraling out of control? Am I developing postnatal depression? Because I have like a history of depression. Well, you know, I said I was bullied as a teenager and I was diagnosed with depression then. which was obviously like circumstantial, but because I had like, you know, bouts of depression, you know, throughout my life, normally around a difficult time, I did think, does that make, you know, I'm surely then I'm more likely to get it now because I'm obviously super sensitive. And obviously that really ties in the depression and the anxiety. They kind of often come like hand in hand. So I was like, oh, I must be a prime candidate to get postnatal depression, and kind of like almost talked myself into thinking that I had it. And I was getting anxious that I wasn't going to be able to look after my baby, that I wasn't going to be able to look after myself, that I just basically wasn't going to be able to be a good mom and like keep it together. And actually, but what ended up happening was by about 6 weeks, that feeling had lifted, and I'd started to feel, I mean, still exhausted,
yeah,
and it was still a shock, but I'd started to feel a bit more like I could cope a bit more.
Yeah,
but definitely for me, the first few weeks, it was so overwhelming because I was so happy to have this beautiful baby and, you know, be in this bubble at home. And there was one side of it, there was like beautiful flowers and cakes everywhere and like lovely messages from people and this gorgeous little baby who I felt so much love for. But the other side of it was just these feelings I couldn't understand, not being able to stop crying, the discomfort, you know,
yeah,
the tiredness. And out of nowhere, like in one day, I could feel so many different emotions from like, you know, elated and happy, like the happiest I've ever felt, then like the lowest I've ever felt, anxious, and like I couldn't stop crying. And that could just be in one morning.
Oh my God, I know. Like, you just go through the full spectrum of emotions. It's definitely still massively, I think, shrouded in mystery. And I think there's still a stigma there. Like, we've come so far with anxiety in general, but like with mothers and anxiety, there's no one wants to say that like I'm having a really hard time, or maybe even dare I say like I'm not enjoying this time at the moment. For me, it was a really, really hard time. And after a couple of weeks, like you, after about 6 weeks, I guess the hormones just settle down. Like, whatever way you have a baby, they all settle down eventually, and then you start, yeah, to come back. You start to get to know your baby, you get to trust yourself and trust yourself to know what you're doing. But it was so overwhelming for me, and like all my IBS symptoms came back. When I share stuff about being a mother, I share like the good days and the bad days, which you do too as well, which is so useful because then it lets people off the hook and lets people realize that, okay, I don't, you know, it doesn't mean I'm a bad mother if I find it hard. Because is there any part in life where there's more judgment than being a mother?
People have so many different opinions, and it's the time when you feel like the most vulnerable ever, and you don't want all these different opinions. It's you want, it is good to obviously get advice, and people do want to help, but the different opinions definitely can make you feel anxious. And I think one of the other challenging things is whatever's going on with your baby, maybe you're having some sleep issues, some feeding issues, there's 100 different ways to do things.
Exactly.
And you've got to try to find what works for you and your baby and what feels right, yeah, and kind of try to instinctively like go with what that is. And you often have to just try lots of different things, and it's really disheartening if whatever you're trying like isn't working and you feel like quite lost.
Yeah, I think part of the anxiety for me, I'm not sure if you would relate to this, is that like before you become a mother or parent, you know, if you work really hard at something, it will work out for you. You'll be successful. If you do your homework, it will work out. If you put your mind to something, it will work out. It's a very specific part of your brain. Then when you become a parent, it's all instinct and trusting and like trial and error. And like, we don't want trial, yeah, and error. We want trial and success. That's what we're used to.
Completely.
And like that shift can be like, obviously it's not just you becoming, having a baby. The process of becoming a mother is quite a vulnerable, anxious time because you're becoming a new person and you're leaning into a part of your brain, yeah, that you're not used to tapping into. So, I mean, it is really significant.
One thing I found really tough, and I think this is really I think this is so tied into how I felt in the first 6 weeks, is, and I'm sure you find this too, and for anyone that struggles with anxiety or mental health, not sleeping enough is what the biggest cause, right? It's like, if you're not sleeping, and you naturally maybe struggle with anxiety and stress, it's going to be 10 times worse if you're not sleeping. Of course you're not sleeping because you've just had a new baby. And I mean, every baby is so different depending on like, you know, how long it takes them to start getting into a good feeding and sleep routine. But for most parents, those first weeks, you're not getting much sleep. You know, the baby is not able to start sleeping for long periods until it can start eating enough. And that's maybe not probably till about 6 to 8 weeks that you're going to kind of get like a good long chunk at night. obviously it depends what your setup is in terms of if you've got someone helping you. And that's actually something I'm going to do a bit differently this time. Because I was like, no, I did actually have a postnatal doula come and stay with us for a couple of weeks, but I was like adamant, like I'm doing all the feeds at night and I really wanted to do it all. Mm-hmm. But I was so tired. And I think that really tied into those low feelings as well. I know it's hormonal, but I think a lot of it is really tied into how tired you are.
100%. And you really have to put your well-being alongside the well-being of your baby, because like you can't pour from an empty cup. So, I mean, it's exactly. I think if you can advocate for yourself and be like, no, I need an extra pair of hands here, if you can, like, then absolutely take it, because you're safeguarding your own mental health so that you can be the best mother you want to be, you know?
I think this time, having Sienna as well already, I'm going to, like, looking back over my experience the first time, I'm going to have help at night, and then I'm going to have like support in the day to help with Sienna, and then at night I'm going to have somebody to help with the new baby, so that I'll wake up and pump maybe once or twice, but I'll just try to actually just sleep. Probably not for the first 2 weeks, because I feel like you need your milk supply to come in and you're bonding with the baby, and you just kind of go, okay, for 2 weeks I'm hardly going to sleep at night. But then after that I'm going to be like, right, 3 nights a row and every week I'm going to sleep. And then that's just like, you know, I'm going to see how that goes this time.
How is knowing that you've put those plans in place helping your anxiety now approaching baby number two?
So much. I'm such a planner, and just knowing, okay, I've got this in place. Obviously you don't know what kind of baby you're going to have. Also, I know so much more now, and I've got great experts that I know I can literally pick up the phone and get advice from. If we have the kind of same like sleep and reflux issues we had last time. So I definitely feel calmer in this pregnancy in lots of ways, because it's second time around, you know, I'm going into it with my eyes a lot more open, and I've got a more realistic expectation of how hard those first weeks were.
I get asked this question a lot, and I want to put it to you. What would you say to those people who are very anxious messaging me saying, I really dream of becoming a parent one day, but I really struggle with anxiety and I'm so afraid that I won't be able to do it, or that my anxiety will just imprint onto my child?
I would say it's obviously really normal to think these things, and the thoughts had definitely crossed my mind as well. I would say becoming a parent has actually helped me. Yes, you're right, like it hasn't disappeared. But I think, I don't know, I guess I have also learned to be a bit more in the moment and to slow down. I think lockdown actually really did that to me as well. But to just not always be racing ahead to the next thing, and just being more like right in the moment, trying to embrace it in the moment, enjoy the moment, because you know that they're only a baby for such a short amount of time. So I feel like it's made me be more present.
And people say to me all the time, and it really annoys me, like, oh, do you ever worry that Kaylin's going to be really anxious because you're anxious? And it drives me crazy. But my answer is always no, because I think, and you're probably the same, if so much awareness of mental health and anxiety, I know what to look out for, that you'll be a really good support for Sienna if she ever has an anxious, and of course she will have an anxious moment in her life. Of course she'll have worries, but you'll be able to come down to her level and talk her through them because you've experienced it.
Our generation is so much more aware, like you said, of mental health, and our children are. Yes, they're growing up in a scary world, and I definitely have moments of fear and anxiety when I think about that a bit. But they're also going to be growing up with, you know, now they offer like mindfulness at school, and you know, all these things we never had growing up. And I definitely want to encourage that in Sienna from a young age.
Yeah, and there's so many books now about helping you understand your feelings and emotions, whereas our generation, it's good vibes only, and there's no room for being sensitive. You know, people are uncomfortable with people's vulnerability, and I really think we're on the cusp of that changing, and that's going to help so massively with anxiety of younger generations. As you can hear, I'm very passionate about the whole topic.
No, do you know what, it feels so good talking about it, and I think what you do is amazing, and you really help so many people, and I'm so glad you asked me to come on, because I haven't actually spoken openly about my anxiety journey really, apart from, you know, in some posts on Instagram, but I haven't really spoken about it probably in this much depth, you know, ever. So this is great. And I'm really, you know, glad to get this out there. And I hope that it helps lots of other people realize their feelings are totally normal.
Before I let you go, I know you're super busy, but best advice you've been given to help dissolve anxiety as and when it's rising up for you?
Okay, so I'd love to know from you as well afterwards about what your tips, top tips are. I think one of the best ones is like looking at your surroundings, like, you know, the feet on the floor example I gave you, and looking at my feet and seeing where they are. And then it just like grounds me a bit. So it takes me out from being like all in my head to the reality of, okay, where am I right now? Okay, am I safe? Yes. Okay. Breathing, you know, the kind of standard breathing to calm yourself down, where you like breathe in, hold it in for a couple of seconds, and then breathe out for like, say you breathe in for like 4 seconds, hold it for like 2 seconds, breathe out for like longer, so breathe out for like 6 seconds. That's really effective. I know there's so many different techniques out there. Some people use tapping. I know also that what's the one when you look at different things around you and you kind of name them. I know that that's what I used at one point. Sometimes I use counting. Very simple.
Wow, you've got so many skills to turn to. It's great. I mean, just to know, even it's a comfort blanket, isn't it? To know that you know there's things you can turn to there. For me, it's really, I suppose I'm probably not so great at like doing the things like the exercises. I'm more in the cognitive space where I say, okay, like label it. You're feeling anxious. What's going on? And the biggest thing for me is to catch myself when I start to be like really self-critical, because I think so often we're like, oh, like, why are you feeling like this? This just don't get a grip, yeah. You know, and that just triggers more. So I say, like, my big question is, okay, you're feeling anxious. That's okay. What is the one thing you can do right now to help yourself feel a little bit better? And that sort of tapping in just to like the self-soothing element. If you can just say, okay, here we are. I don't like this feeling right now, but I feel it. That's okay. If I need to leave, I can leave. Like, what's the worst that can happen? If I like the time that I had a panic attack, I was saying when I was pregnant at the gig, I just said to my husband, I said, listen, like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I'm back a couple of years ago, I would have said, oh my God, get on with it. You have to stay here. And I was like, I'm not feeling this. He had some pals there. I was like, I'm going to do myself a favor and remove myself from this situation. I don't feel great. I'm going to go home. I'm going to allow myself have a cup of tea and say, it's okay. You're feeling really overwhelmed. It makes sense. Let's look at the reasons why it maybe makes sense. Cause sometimes it's hard to see that in the moment and like get a helicopter view of, so for me, it was like, well, you're pregnant. Well, you haven't been in a crowded space in a long time. All these different things. And then just like, forgive yourself for it. Don't be hard on yourself. And then I noticed that when I had that approach, the aftermath of the panic attack was so much easier, because normally the aftermath is awful because you're like, oh my God, am I broken? Am I gonna get sent away? And it's where it's the aftermath, where how you take care of yourself in the aftermath of an anxious moment is where you can really like impact it long term.
Definitely. I think there's not doing something nice for yourself, like, you know, you've just been through something really stressful, like you need a treat, like, you know, whether that's a cup of chamomile tea with a bit of honey or a hot bath or a lie down, you know, like you said, in your really comfy, super soft pajamas and like literally just getting into bed under the covers. That's okay. It's like, it's taking that time for you. Maybe it's calling a friend and crying to them about how you felt.
Definitely vocalizing it and like sharing it with someone has been like so helpful to me, because and I think for everyone, it just, even though sometimes it might be hard to say it, it normalizes it for that person and for you. And if we talk about it so openly and it becomes so normal, then we definitely like shave off the anxiety about what people will think about it.
Definitely talking about it is so crucial. And I think definitely, you know, anxiety for new mums and around pregnancy and it needs to be definitely talked about more in order to normalize it and help people to feel less alone and less scared to say how they're feeling, because it doesn't make you a bad mum. If anything, it makes you a better mum, because you care so much.
If someone is listening now and they're feeling, they're like right where you were in your mid-20s when you were going from one panic attack to the next, and they're just not sure where to start, what would you want to say to them?
I would say, you're going to be okay. So, you know, you're going to get through this. And the first step is recognizing that how you're feeling. And if you can do that, then you're already on your road to recovery and to feeling a lot better. Because for me, definitely, like when I started to go, okay, what are these feelings? And okay, that's anxiety. And anxiety was the scary word, but it then meant that I could tell people and get help for it and start my kind of start finding coping mechanisms and start finding therapies and different things that would help me to manage it, and that have become, you know, part of my journey and that I use still to this day. And it's, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't feel any shame. It's completely normal. And the more you reach out and talk about it, like you've been saying, it really will help. So definitely ask for help. There's so many different ways, and if it's different, I think you'd agree that there's not just one answer for everyone that's feeling anxious. There's a lot of different things that can help you, and you've got to find like what feels right for you. For some people, it's medication and a combination of therapy, and that's also fine. You shouldn't feel any shame if that's what you need. For some people, it is, you know, changing their lifestyle, exercising, changing even like their diet, like getting more sleep. Like, you've got to like look at the whole like big picture.
Absolutely, because it is a big picture. Millie, thank you so much. I really appreciate how much you've shared with me, how open you've been. I hope it's been cathartic for you.
It's been really cathartic.
It's been such a pleasure. I'm so happy to have met you, albeit virtually. Thank you for sharing all that you do and just making, you know, people like me feel everything is normal and okay, and you're just the best kind of influencer there is. So
thank you. That really means a lot to me, and also keep doing what you're doing. It's really great, and you help so many people.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.